In some circles, you can never live something you do down. You can never live it down. No! He'll never live that down. You know, so to speak. And when someone has done wrong, you know, they have a... And if they're sorry and willing to turn from their sins, they're going to have a feeling, if they're a tender-hearted type of person who wants to follow righteousness, they're going to have this feeling of they're never going to be able to get past it. They're never going to live it down. People are always going to look at them in a certain way. And they need to be comforted. And to me, you know, comfort is a call to the side. Parakaleo. That's what I meant. It doesn't mean to just, you know, it doesn't mean to give someone, you know, we think comfort, what, give him an easy chair and a pipe? Or, you know, put his slippers on for him? Or wrap him up in a big squishy blanket? It's when you bring someone to your side. It's, you know, to me the image thought of is like a hug. But it's not the physical aspect. It's to bring someone near to you so you can speak quietly to them. I'm speaking words of forgiveness and words of encouragement. That is a comfort that you need to provide. And comfort needs to come in the form of words. I mean, sometimes silence is golden, depending on the situation. When it comes to an issue of public disgrace and forgiveness, there needs to be words. They need words to feel right again. Because otherwise, you know, you keep holding that over someone, you're going to swallow someone up of grief. And I walk through this world and I see souls swallowed up in grief. I see it in their eyes. Because there isn't forgiveness out there. And we dwell in the midst of Christian people. How strange. I suppose not. Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. Confirm your love. You know, you gotta speak it. You gotta let the person know. It's not enough to just say, oh, I forgive him in my heart. You know, and then to say, well, you know, he could figure it out for himself. He ought to know I forgive him. I'm not telling him how much I hate him. I'm not reminding him of all the evil he's done every day. I mean, isn't my silence good enough? I never speak to such a one. No, it's not enough. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you will be obedient. I want to know that you are doing what I told you to do, in all things, whether in correction or forgiveness. You know, whether it be in righteousness or in truth, in all things, obedient to the truth. And he wrote for that purpose as well. You know, he wrote, one, that they wouldn't be sorrowful, but also that they would follow what he was saying. And he might know, if they would do that, will you do this? I mean, if the man did something worthy of public punishment, at least within the church, and he was still around, that would be something Paul could see. You know, was that person off in a corner? Sort of barely hanging on? Because we're talking, this is all in the faith. This issue. It's all in the faith. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it for your sakes, forgave I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should give it an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. You know, you get one person standing around in bitterness. You know, someone recently tried to quote this verse to me like it was an axiom, like, forgive everybody. And in forgiveness, I'd rather be generous with my forgiveness than stingy, certainly. But people who are not in the faith and don't want to be forgiven don't need to be, let's say somebody does something. They're not sorry. They don't repent. And they're going to spit in your face when you try to comfort them. forgive them in your heart, because they don't even need your forgiveness. I mean, it's not going to make them, when you forgive them, they may scoff and say, forgive me, I ought to forgive you. And laugh and tread the pearls of Christ's love beneath their feet. What I'm saying is, implicit in this, to whom you forgive anything, it's the idea that there is forgiveness, but there's also times when you don't forgive. Or at least you don't, you're not actively participating in it. You know, you can pray to the Lord, forgive them, they don't know what they do. And we can seek forgiveness for people who are evil. But let us not forget that the will of God is that such should be punished. And that's why we pray for them. You know, when I pray for an enemy, I'm praying that God would punish and correct them in such a way that they would turn from their wicked ways. It's not that God forgive them, that they could continue being wicked and happy in it and go on and hurt more people. But, you know, in the church, you leave someone unforgiven, Satan will come into their heart. Or the hearts of you. What you're doing is, when you leave unforgiveness in the body of Christ, you know, there's unforgiveness festering. That is an open door for the devil to bring in even greater evil. When I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus my brother. And so he was expecting to find Titus at Troas, and he was upset that he hadn't found him. And that's just merely an aside here, I believe. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. He left Troy and Macedonia. He was anxious to look after Titus. I think maybe he's saying this because he's curious to know maybe if Titus is with them. I don't know. I don't know what it means, really. I mean, it meant something to Paul, but... Now, thanks be to God, verse 14, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. God always makes us to triumph in Christ. Does that mean we never have any disappointments? Never have any sorrow? Paul was just talking about all the sorrow that can come on people in the midst of, you know, you're with other people, and people will do things that grieve you. You forgive them.